Is that true of us? Is the Lord our strength and our shield? Do we long and desire to worship him? Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 112. Let's take a look at it together. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteousness will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The word of God for the people of God. Speed up. That was what the Holy Spirit said to me one morning as I was making my drive back to Memphis, Tennessee. Speed up. That voice that is completely recognizable as him, as only his, kept saying to me over and over. Why was he saying it? Because I had come up beside a truck pulling a trailer, and something just seemed a little off. There was a little bit of wobble in that trailer that day. And speed up, the Holy Spirit said a third time. And needless to say, that's what I did. I gunned it. The speed limit was 65. I might have been going 70. I gunned it up to 85. And I looked in my rear view just in time to see that truck sideways, the trailer sideways, detached from the truck, going down the interstate. How could something like that happen? Cars honking their horns, swerving left and right. Praise the Lord it didn't cause an accident somehow. Why did that happen? Something about that trailer wasn't secure. Whether they messed up attaching it or whether it came detached just because they got it sideways and they didn't load it right, whatever happened, it came loose. And because it had loosened and detached from the truck, it kind of went its own direction, back and forth, and amazingly made its way off into the median. And as the truck pulled over a little distance down. I say that to you this morning because bad things happen when we're not secure. Whether it's a trailer being secured to the back of a truck or whether it's our hearts being secured in Christ. Chaos erupts when we're not secure. You see, the unsecure heart is easily tossed back and forth, pulled in multiple directions, while the one who is secure in Christ has that singular focus. And that's what the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 112. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And we're going to answer this question. Is your heart secure? That's the question each of us has to answer on our own. I can't answer it for you. So I ask it again. Is your heart secure? You see, when your heart is secure in Christ, there are certain things that happen. And the first one is this. You find enjoyment in being obedient. When your heart is secure in Christ, you find enjoyment in being obedient. Notice what the psalmist says. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Now I ask you this morning, do you find great delight in the commands of God? Do you find great delight in being obedient to Him? Psalm 112 begins where Psalm 111 ends, which is to say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've heard that before, right? Isn't that what Solomon said in Proverbs? And so Psalm 111 reflects upon the great attributes of God. Psalm 112 speaks of those attributes being reflected in God's people. Praise the Lord, we're told. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. I'll never forget the day I was born again. It was 1989. I was 8 years old. That might seem awfully young. I remember it like it was yesterday. As I prayed with my aunt in my grandmother's house in her bathroom down on my hands and knees in the floor. Because there were so many people in the house, it's the only place we could get private. Why did I do that? Because I feared the Lord. Because I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that there was a hell, and I didn't want to go there. I feared the Lord. I knew I needed Him. I knew I needed Christ. And that's what fear does at first. It brings you to the cross, where you fearfully cry out because you've realized yourself to be very poor in spirit, as we're told in the Beatitudes. Blessed is the one who is poor in spirit, who has recognized the complexity of their brokenness and their need for a Savior. And so I cried out, and that fear got replaced with peace. Have you ever experienced that? And that peace eventually grew into a love and admiration of Jesus Christ. And I went from doing things and serving Him out of fear to serving Him because I love Him. And I went from Him being my taskmaster to Him being my Redeemer, following Him all the same. You see, there's a difference between a faithfulness born out of reluctance and one born out of true admiration. One is a slavish fear that leads to a curse. If we have the wrong kind of idea about God, the wrong kind of beliefs about Him, and we think of Him as just this judgmental being that's standing and waiting for us to mess up and hoping that somehow we can tip the scales and earn His love, we fear the Lord, but not the way the psalmist is talking about. Because the psalmist says, I delight to follow His commands. That kind of fear, we see it in the scriptures, right? Don't the Pharisees and the Sadducees, don't they have that kind of fear? Aren't they so afraid of getting things wrong that they made up their own set of rules of how to follow all the laws of the Old Testament? And if you messed up, if this was the line of messing up, they would stand way over here, far away from it. And if anybody got close to the line, they would cast them out. That's a slavish fear. They were afraid of God, so afraid to disappoint Him that they didn't even take the time to know Him. Praise the Lord, there's a different kind of fear. One that is a godly fear that leads to delight. A godly fear that leads to delight. You know when people have it. Why? Because it doesn't matter what they're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's being done in the name of Jesus Christ, they will find a way to make it enjoyable. Whether it's putting up chairs for a church meeting or pressure washing the parking lot, they will do it with a grin on their face because they love Jesus. And they're willing to do anything for him. So we have to ask ourselves, do we delight in his commands? Do you long to follow him? Do you get excited when he reveals something new to you? And even if that new thing's going to be hard, you get excited about it because you want to do what he says to do, and you want to be where he says to be, and you want to follow him and worship him because he's worthy of it. Or do you say, here we go again. I've got to go do something I don't really want to do, but I'll do it because God told me to. The heart that is secure in Jesus Christ, that knows the depths of their need for him, starts to find some joy in being obedient. Starts to find some excitement and walking in unison with him. Scriptures are filled with people who went both ways on this. Scriptures also filled with some who did both. We think about the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul. When he was Saul, he had that slavish kind of fear, didn't he? He was so afraid that he made everybody else afraid. And every town he went there to have people arrested and put to death. But then he was born again. And then all he wanted to do was love Jesus and tell everybody about him. When our hearts are secure in Christ, you find enjoyment in being obedient. Also, when your heart is secure in Christ, you display integrity in moments of adversity. When your heart is secure in Christ, you display integrity in moments of adversity. Pick up in verse 4. Even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. That sounds an awful lot like integrity to me. That sounds like a good godly character to me. And notice when it's displayed in darkness. You know, Paul hit on this during the children's message. He said, people think of wealth and riches in this moment and in this time as what's in our bank account, the kind of home we live in, the kind of car we drive. No, there are spiritual riches that far exceed that. And they are shown and revealed sometimes in the darkness. Just a surface level reading of scripture will let you know that the whole idea of a prosperity gospel is non-existent in the Bible. Why? Because we see believer after believer struggling. Job lost everything he had. The poor widow who gives the very last of what little she has to give, Jesus points to her and says, look at her faith. The light shining in the darkness. Integrity shown in a moment of adversity. We need that, don't we? Whether the adversity comes from a bad doctor's appointment, or a tough situation at work, or a relationship that's not going the way that we'd like, or a conflict that we have and see no end to, light can shine in the darkness. Isn't that what Jesus did? If you look back in John, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, Light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So it is with the person who is secure in Jesus Christ. Though the darkness might surround you, the light of Christ shines within you. And integrity shines brightest in this moment or your moments of adversity. You see, the riches of the Christian life, such as contentment and peace, all come from Jesus Christ. He displays them in you no matter the circumstances because He is faithful. You might be facing a circumstance today that makes you wonder, how can I be patient? How can I be calm? How can I approach this with integrity? I'll tell you how. Jesus is living in you. And it's Him working through you who can approach it with integrity, who can be content, who can find joy, who can exercise peace, and who can be a blessing when everyone else around you struggles to be that. Our world needs this today. They need Christians to shine through the darkness. They need Christians to display the love and hope and faith and trust that we have in Jesus Christ. They need us to be the peacemakers. They need us to be the ones who offer hope when the world's fresh out. That's a part of our calling. That's a part of our life, to display integrity in moments of adversity. And that leads us to our last thought. When your heart is secure in Christ, you develop a legacy through your consistency. When your heart is secure in Christ, you develop a legacy through your consistency. We just celebrated Pat Williams' life. Isn't she someone who had that legacy? How did she get it? Through consistency, through her faithfulness. Not just when things were going well, but when things were at their hardest. Her integrity shined through the darkness of her adversity. We all know people like that, don't we? You're probably thinking of somebody right now. Somebody whose integrity shines through, whether things are going well, whether things are going bad, they found a way to delight in the commands of God because they loved Him. And their hearts were secure. Notice what we're told in verse 6. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. Hear that again. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. And they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures, there's that word again, forever. When your heart is secure in Christ, you develop a legacy through your consistency. In this life, if a Christian is steadfast, calm, and unconquerable, they will leave behind them a trail of faithfulness that last. I don't know about you, but I want to leave behind that kind of trail. I want to leave behind a trail that when people remember me, they remember my love of Christ. They remember my kindness, my faithfulness, my authentic faith that was on display for everybody to see. I long for that. Why? Because such a person will be treasured. They'll be a treasure to the lives of those who knew them. We think about the giants of the faith, right? Just in the scriptures. Think about King David and how much we treasure him. Think about the apostles. Maybe you've got a favorite. Why do you treasure them? Because of their courage, because of their faith. Here's what the psalmist says. That's kind of the way of the righteous. You have such an impact on people. You leave such a lasting legacy that you will be treasured. Also, such a person will be influential. You will have made a difference. If you've ever wondered, am I making a difference? If your heart is secure in Christ and you are walking in obedience to Him, I guarantee you, you are making a difference. And you will have more and more opportunities to make an even larger difference and have an even greater impact if you prove faithful all the way to the end. And of course, such a person will be perpetual. What do I mean by that? I mean that their legacy will last forever. Why? Because that kind of integrity, that kind of steadfast love will go on with you all the way through eternity. That's why the psalmist says they'll be remembered forever. Because that's what you take with you. The love, the joy, the peace, patience, and kindness. Those are the things that last. I got a house. I live in a house. I like that I have a house. It's not going with me to heaven. But that love and that joy and that peace, the way I make time for people, the way we love people, the way we offer support, the way we walk in faith and obedience, those are the things that last. And so, what kind of trail are you leaving in your wake? If people were to look at your life, what would they say about it? Are you being a blessing? When people look into your heart, not that they can know it fully, but however much you display, what is displayed there? What would they say about it? When you're following the Lord, is there any delight in your heart? As we worship this morning, have you had in any moment a sense of enjoyment from being able to sing His praises? When He called you to do something that was hard this week, that maybe went against the grain of what everybody else around you was doing, but it meant having integrity, did you find delight in doing it? What kind of trail are you leaving in your wake? Makes me think of a boat that's out on the water and it has those waves that go behind it, and if you're not careful and you go through it, it makes you bounce really high, right? What are you leaving in your wake? Is it like that trailer at the beginning that's not attached loosely and it's moving back and forth all over the interstate? I don't want to leave that kind of trail in my wake. I want to leave one that builds people up, that is a blessing, that touches lives and changes hearts. And that can only be done when my heart is secure in Jesus Christ. So is yours. Is your heart secure in Him? Let us pray. Father, it is so easy for us to have hearts that are divided. We don't even mean to. But this world is filled with so many distractions and we're pulled in so many different directions, and it's easy for us, rather than to have our hearts and minds focused solely upon You, to get distracted by things that don't really matter. And when the pressure is intense, to lose sight of what You're calling us to do and to compromise our integrity rather than to be faithful. Lord, we long to have hearts that are firm in Christ this morning. And we pray that You would help us to get there. Help us to have the courage to leave a legacy that will stand the test of time and will last forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. You know whether your heart is secure. You know whether you're delighting yourself in the Lord. You know whether you're walking with integrity. And I imagine if you took the time to focus on it, you probably have a decent idea what kind of legacy you're leaving behind you. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you on any of these matters, come down to this altar and make that first step toward getting your heart secure. The Holy Spirit is leading, and He's ready for you to come. Come as you feel led.